Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain. Alleluia.
He gives us new life and hope through his resurrection. Alleluia.
Rejoice then, even in your distress.
We shall be counted worthy when Christ appears.
God has claimed us as his own.
God has called us from our darkness into the light of his day.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, through your only Son, you overcame death and opened for us the gate of everlasting life. Give us your continual help, put good desires into our minds, and bring them to full effect. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, and by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray responsively. Psalm 16. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing.
I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones, in whom is all my delight.
Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips.
Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure.
The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance.
I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me.
I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure.
Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay.
You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our second lesson is from Colossians chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now, I'd like to invite our children and students to listen to this Easter message. Jesus was dead, and all his friends were sad. They thought they would never see him again, and they were also sad because they thought Jesus was supposed to rescue them redeem them, and be their king. But instead, he was dead. Jesus' friends were also afraid. They didn't know what would happen next. Would they return to their old homes and old jobs? Would their lives return to the way they were before? Would the people who killed Jesus try to kill them too? They were afraid, and Jesus wasn't there to help them. In our gospel lesson, we heard that some of the women who followed Jesus went to the tomb. But by the time they arrived, the stone had been rolled away, and the guards scared stiff, and Jesus' body was gone. The tomb was empty. Now they were even more afraid. I want you to think back to a time when you were afraid or scared. It might not have been that long ago. You might even be afraid now. It's okay to be scared. Parents and grown-ups, really all adults get scared too. The good news, though, is that our gospel lesson doesn't end there. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Come and see. Then go quickly and tell his disciples." As the women went, they were still afraid, but they were more than afraid. They were also filled with joy. And as they were going, Jesus met them, and he told them the same thing. "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Right now, we live in a scary time. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. But the truth is, even before everything changed, we didn't know what would happen tomorrow, or the next day, or the day after that. But like the women on their way, Jesus meets us too. Though it can seem like he's gone because we can't see him with our eyes, Jesus comes to us in his word. Every time we hear the Bible read, Jesus is there with us, and he reminds us that we do not have to be afraid because he is alive. And that means that we who believe in him will live forever too. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead so that we don't have to be ruled by our fear. Like the women, we can also be filled with joy. Jesus is alive, and he is our King. And as our King, he redeemed us and rescued us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. By his death on the cross, our sins are forgiven. And by his resurrection from the dead, you and I will live forever with him. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. Not quite 4 months ago, we gathered for worship and heard these words: "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I'm sure most of you could recite the rest of that passage by heart. Dazed shepherds leaving their flock, saying, "Let us go see this thing that the Lord has made known to us." It strikes me how, in the two most important stories of the Christian faith, fear and joy are the paired emotions. What is it, we might ask, that makes people afraid? A better question might be, why does God, quite aware of our fear, insist we not be, particularly when he reveals himself to us? Why, in place of simply breathing a sigh of relief, can men and women who believe God be filled with joy? And in the case of both the Christmas and Easter stories, Matthew and Luke take pains to tell us, big-time joy, mega joy, unsurpassed, unimaginable joy. To the question regarding fear, particularly in the Christmas and Easter stories, I admit the sudden, visible, audible appearance of heavenly beings would do the trick for me. Yet I think the fear of both the Christmas and Easter stories has more to do with the introduction of God into our lives in ways we can neither foresee nor control than the appearance of the messengers. Both stories tell us that the God of creation loves us. There is, or should be, nothing frightening about that. Both say the love of God, everlasting and unchanging, is nevertheless not an edict from heaven, but a personal, embodied message from a God who participates in his creation in a most amazing and yet very vulnerable fashion. Our God laid in a cradle and a grave. Both tell us that this love sets us in motion, however, and it's that aspect of the future and how we'll love God by living our lives that I suspect is a sizable part of the fear experienced by the participants in these two stories. And to them I add a third story. Recall that once Jesus was asleep in the stern of a boat that was being tossed about by wind and waves. His disciples awakened him and said, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus stilled the storm and then asked why they were afraid. I've always been astonished by that question. To my knowledge, no one in those days knew how to swim, so to capsize your boat at sea meant death. Why were you afraid? Yet even after Jesus quieted the storm, the disciples' hearts were still disquieted. Mark 4:41 says, "They were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who is this, that even the wind and waves obey him?'" It seems that fear in so many of the stories involving Jesus is summoned not by his or an angel's appearance, but by what their words and the implication of their words for someone's future will be. In every story, faith is not lacking. People all do what God said or marvel at what God had done. It's just their trust is not accompanied by understanding. Hence, reactions such as, "Who is this?" or, "Let us go see this thing." And in today's Easter story from Matthew, a hasty departure from the tomb, but with fear and great joy. These reactions bespeak a great big, "What now?" It's the "what now" of the moment that begets fear. But it also brings great joy. Lots of people in our world today know fear. Psychologists tell us that we are born with primal fears, among them death, separation, loss of autonomy, and loss of our sense of being dignified, worthy beings. For 20 years now, I have been privileged to preach Easter sermons, and never had I had the occasion to do so when these common fears of humanity have been so palpable. In just 30 days, over 16,000 Americans and 100,000 people worldwide have died of a stunningly fast-spreading illness. We've been restricted to our homes, told to cover our faces in public, wash everything we touch, and refrain from gatherings with our families when as Christians we're in our highest, holiest days. Never in our nation's history have so many people lost work or companies seen their business evaporate so fast, smothering them with questions exceeded only by the debts they may have to take on to survive. And lingering over all it is, where do we go from here? What does the future portend? Never in my 20 years of preaching has the Easter message been more needed and well-timed. Jesus Christ rose from the dead to replace fear with joy. It addresses, as it has always been intended to address, basic human fears. As to our own death, Jesus, in John 11:26, says, "He who lives and believes in me will never die." As to our own separation from God, Jesus, in Matthew 28:20, says, "Surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." And Romans 8:38 adds, "Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As to our loss of autonomy, Jesus says in John 8:38, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed," which means principally that we are no longer bound by our sinful desires, smothered, overwhelmed, or controlled by them. And as to recent confinement to our homes or loss of favorite activities, we might ask, if you live in Christ, does it really matter where you spend your day? Or is it, as Galatians 2:20 says, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." That kind of life can be lived anywhere. And finally, as to our very selves, that vital question of who we are, our sense of worthiness, so easily dented by shame or tarnished by humiliation or failure. To this, Romans 10:11 says, "Anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame." And Romans 5:5 says, "Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit." How many more promises of God this blessed Easter day could we invoke as we step from our good news of great joy Easter Sunday toward what is likely to be another sobering newsfeed Monday? Enough, indeed, so many more than the day's challenges they will see us through. They are sure, then, the future is unsure. Let Easter's blessed assurance, "He is going before you to your Galilee, there you will see him," allow you to then say, "Let me go see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. Who is this that even death obeys and fear flees? God's Christ, your forgiver, provider, and friend, the only Son of God, who is risen indeed." Amen.
Let us profess the faith of the Church, the faith in which we baptize. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, look with mercy upon your church, that it will be a place of peace and joy for the world. Let the whole world come to understand that on Easter, what was fallen is being raised up, what was old is being made new, and what had reason for discouragement now has reason for hope through him who rose from the grave. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless homes and families, parents and children, on this holy day. Give joy to our celebrations, even as we are apart, and bring us back together again quickly, so we may celebrate your risen life together in safety. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, and especially we pray for Kay Marshall and for Glory Kurth and all those mourning the death of Barbara Coulterman. Comfort them by your unchanging presence and rule in their hearts and minds with your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the grace of a holy life, that with the apostles, saints, and martyrs, and all who have departed this world and died in the faith, we will be accounted worthy someday to enter into the fullness of joy that our Lord Jesus has won for us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Before we sing our closing hymn, I wanted to take a moment to extend the gratitude and thankfulness of Calvary Lutheran Church to our music director, Gene Tross, and also to his wife, Laura, for loaning him to us for these last 5.5 years. It would have, of course, been our intention to celebrate this Easter day together, and one more time to celebrate the magnificent way in which Gene and his giftedness as a musician has led us in worship over these last 5+ years. Of course, we are unable to do that, at least now in person, although we have reserved an opportunity to have Jean and Laura back so that we may bid them a proper farewell. But I now commend to you not only the joy of this closing hymn of triumph of ours in our Easter worship service today, but also one more time to enjoy the gifts that Jean has brought to us and his magnificent ability in leading us in worship. We sing together, "The strife is o'er, the battle done."
Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.